In this episode of Balancing the Christian Life, we talk to Brian Sheely and Ryan Joy from the Bible Geeks podcast. Welcome to Balancing the Christian Life. I'm Dr. Kenny Embry. We'll talk about how to be better Christians and people in the digital age. Let's go. I've told students in my public speaking classes for a long time, there is at least one topic you could speak passionately about for a long time without much preparation. I think all of us can do that given the right topic. When we do that, we often say we're geeking out about something. Well, Brian Sheely and Ryan Joy have been geeking out about Christianity for about 2 years now on their podcast, The Bible Geeks. Let me say this plainly. If you don't listen to what they're doing, you should at least try it. I can't remember if it was Jeff O'Rear or J.D. Souter who introduced me to their program, but I'm grateful to whoever it was. Brian is a software engineer in Phoenix, and Ryan is a preacher in Indiana, and they have a blast talking about Christianity. So you know, they have two podcasts. One is a short scripted daily thought, and one is a longer weekly conversation. Brian also has a soundboard with effects, and he's not afraid to use it. I love this conversation, and I think you will too. Hey guys, how you doing?
Doing great.
Doing awesome. How are you?
I'm doing great. Now, just so people know who they're listening to, why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
I'm Brian Sheely. I'm here in Phoenix, Arizona, and one of the co-hosts of the Bible Geeks podcast, along with my buddy who's to my left. Not really. He's thousands of miles away.
I'm Ryan Joy. I am the other half of the Bible Geeks team, and I'm here in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Distance can't keep Bible people apart.
It does make the heart grow fonder, though, apparently.
Yes.
Digital discipleship brings us all together, ladies and gentlemen. This is very exciting. I'm a fan. I think you guys are doing some of the best work out there. Not least of which is the production work that you all do. You guys sound fabulous. You guys also have an insane release schedule. You guys are also putting out some amazing quality content. I mean, you all are talking about things that matter. And I think you all are doing a really great job. Let me go ahead and start off with this. What on earth is a Bible geek?
I'll kick that off as somebody who has been called a geek dozens, if not hundreds of times myself. I feel like there was a point in time when I was growing up where being called a geek was like a pejorative, definitely something that implied like Coke bottle glasses and a pocket protector somehow.
Yeah.
I feel like, though, and maybe this is just elder millennial coming out, I feel like being a geek is much more accepted than it used to be. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's just all about being passionate about something, being super excited about some particular aspect, maybe something that's off the beaten path that not a lot of people are into. And if you have to be a geek about something, I guess being a geek about God's word is something that I think I feel really passionately about. Sharing that excitement with other people, being that kind of person who just exudes my love for the Bible, and being a geek about something obviously that's off the beaten path. What's more off the beaten path, I guess, than God's word, that narrow way that leads to life. So being a Bible geek, not a bad thing. And in fact, it's on my license plate. That's what it says, Bible geek.
Oh, wow. You're living it.
I guess so. I'm trying.
He owns it. He wears it. He takes it on. Yeah. I've been a Bible geek, I think, since I was at least a teenager. I love talking about the Bible, love nerding out, just diving into all kinds of issues that we find in Scripture. It's an extraordinary book, reveals an extraordinary God to us. Yeah, just that unusual enthusiasm that we have. And I think people in the church have often been called people of the book. I pray that we always are.
There's nothing more that you could do to show your cred as a geek is use the word pejorative in the correct way.
Yeah, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I get the opportunity to talk about something penultimately, then I'll do that as well.
But, well, we'll save that for the second to last, okay?
Yes, second to last.
You see what I did there?
Okay. I did. That is good. Good for you.
Look, guys, you are part of my tribe. I get that immediately. Ryan, you're a preacher in Fort Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Brian
you're a software engineer in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
How did this happen?
That's a great question. I ask myself that a lot, actually. How on earth did this happen?
How did I get here?
When Ryan moved to Phoenix, when I guess I was like 14,
yeah.
He is quite a bit older than myself.
Actually, oh, let's not go crazy.
I'm sorry. Yeah, like, I just have to be honest.
Like, 5 years. 5 years.
Okay,
yeah.
5 years.
5 years.
To the point. To the point.
At one point, it felt like a lot more. When you're 19 and 14... That's you know, that feels more significant, yeah.
Well, one presidential administration lies between you, gentlemen, so go ahead.
This is true. So actually, to the point where in my high school Bible class, Ryan was my teacher. So that was sort of an exciting time for me.
Oh, and, how cool. I love that.
Yeah. So Ryan and I basically met quite a long time ago, and we ran in parallel paths for so long. We were both into the same kinds of things. Our dads both became elders at the congregation at the same time. When it was time for us to be put in position as deacons, we both got to work together as the digital deacons, doing all things technology for Monta Vista when we were together. And we actually even, my family moved right next to their family. Our wives, our kids, we all hung out. Spending a lot of time together is something that I guess is the genesis of this podcast. Eventually, then Ryan moved away to Fort Wayne.
Yeah, right after Brian bought a house very close to us.
Then they moved.
Probably a year later, we ended up moving away.
So you were sending a definite signal there.
It
was a
message
you were trying to get across.
Oh, man. Message received.
Yeah.
So then we decided, after kind of losing touch for a little bit, after Ryan was real deeply engaged in preaching there, we decided to start this podcast, something we'd talked about doing for a long time.
Yeah.
And really, it was just an excuse to let us talk to each other more regularly because we kind of had lost touch. And this was something that we wanted to do. So having a regular call with each other, while it might seem like you called it an insane schedule, but yeah, it's just something that we needed to put back in place to kind of reconnect on a regular basis.
Like Brian said, it's an excuse to have, you know, if you can have a regularly scheduled call with your best friend, friendship is the heart of the podcast. And we like talking to each other. We learned as deacons that we like serving together. We like working together to try to do something good. I think our talents complement each other well. Brian does a good job of putting up with my craziness and just reining me in. And we do a good job, I think, working together. And it was just originally one of those, you know, wouldn't it be kind of cool kind of ideas that we came up with while out jogging the canals of Arizona together? And then after a while apart, I think we were both thinking, maybe this is actually worth putting some time and energy into. And it really has been. It's been a blessing.
Why a podcast?
It's such a good question.
I thought so, too. It's almost like I should interview people, isn't it?
You almost should. I mean, well, maybe we should ask the question of you. Flip the tables here a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, why would you have a podcast? It's sort of the same question you ask on your on your anniversary episode a few episodes back, how you were talking about basically this whole medium of podcasting with people who do podcasting as a regular thing. Why is podcasting such a powerful way of communicating? It's like you're in people's ears. I mean, you become part of their daily routine. They are connected with you in a way that I don't think you get sitting in a pew or even just tuning into the radio station sometimes. It's like you've made a purposeful choice to listen to a voice or a series of voices, and you may not always agree with them. You may feel very passionately against what they're talking about or for what they're talking about. But a podcast is just a great way for people to tune in to something that they're interested in. And hopefully, people are interested in the Bible.
You're really choosing to hang out with someone when you're in a podcast, you know, you're like, okay, these are my friends that I don't know at all, that I want to look forward once a Tuesday, once a Thursday, or whatever it is to listen to and hang out with. And you just get used to sometimes a TV show, my wife and I will call some shows, you know, that's a hangout show. You know, you just kind of want to go and be with your friends by watching that show. And I think if you can have that experience around something that's meaningful and you feel some fruit coming from that, that's even better.
Yeah, I've talked a lot about what I see as the advantages of podcasting. I think it's a conversation that your listener just does not have a vocal part in. They definitely get to know you better. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
I think this sounds kind of creepy, but you guys get it, which is, I kind of think I know you guys. Because
yeah, exactly.
I keep on listening to a conversation, and I got to tell you, sometimes I'm talking back to you guys. I mean,
what are they thinking?
I talk
back to myself all the time when I listen to our episodes. What was I doing?
I know. Yeah, and you better beware of some of the voices in your head. Don't talk back to all of them, okay, Brian?
Absolutely.
But yeah, I think that there's something about this medium that I really, really appreciate. It is that intimacy that you're talking about, Ryan. I think that's exactly it. I think the portability of it, I get to go with you to the laundromat. I get to go with you to wherever you're going. Yeah, yeah, you get to take me everywhere. Congratulations. So anyway... I love what you all have done with your podcast. I love how you guys approach it. The friendship is so obvious. That's just a joy to watch. And if y'all want to call that geeks, I don't care. Call whatever you want to, because I think it works really well. What surprised you about doing this?
I guess it sort of landed on me in a way that how many people would just listen along, even if not casually, you know, if they weren't super dedicated to it, they just maybe catch an episode here and there.
Yeah.
But how those conversations that Ryan and I end up having, just it feels like one-on-one just between the two of us.
Yeah.
How much that would impact somebody else. And I guess we kind of talked about it a little bit ago, but like that's the big motivator for me, is just seeing how this conversation between two friends can impact somebody else, can bless somebody else's life. I don't know of another way to do that easily or regularly, but getting somebody to be positively impacted by, you know, some discussion about the Book of Matthew or us drafting our favorite resistance all-stars throughout the Bible or whatever it is, like these random strange segments that we end up coming up with on our show. If somebody is able to connect with that in a meaningful way, and if not remember it during difficult times, I guess I just love that connection with people that I've never even met, who I don't even know are listening to the show, and knowing that maybe it'll help them some way.
Yeah, you know, and another aspect of it, kind of the other side, is how much it kind of sneaks up on me, how much it's affecting me. You know, it sort of becomes this incubator of ideas that then... Mm-hmm. I don't realize how much I'm being affected by what Brian's saying and what we're talking about, and it shows up a month later in a sermon, or it's just something that sticks with me and I can't get out of my mind, and starts to be transformational as these conversations tend to be.
One of the things that I think happens on these platforms, these are, in my opinion, less scrutinized than your pulpit work. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that I really like about that is you're able to try on some ideas and see how they fit. And if they don't fit too well, you let them go. And if they start fitting a little bit more, it's like, oh, yeah, let me explore that a little bit. And you're able to bring an audience with you. Basically, you all have come up with a fantasy football league of Bible characters. And that is so much fun.
Yeah.
Because I love arguing with you guys, because you get it wrong all the time.
Isn't that the best?
Yeah. A little bit of drama, a little bit of controversy. You know, that's the kind of controversy I can get behind. It's, should you choose Job or Michael the Archangel? I mean, this is...
And that was cheating. I'm just going to ahead and tell you right there. I heard that episode.
That's what I said.
That was cheating. That was cheating.
Hey, he's got like three people and one pick. I mean, come on. It all works out.
And another one. I mean, for sure.
Yeah.
The funny thing, though, about what you said, which I find to be really important, is trying on an idea or being willing to be wrong again, I think I'm echoing something that you talked about on a previous episode, on your anniversary episode, but I really do feel like it is important for us to know what we don't know. And you're only going to come to that when you step out of the realm of safety that you have in the conversations you normally have, the things that are comfortable to talk about. Once you actually start getting out there into the unknown, that's not a fun place to be. That's not an exciting place for people to hear about you talking about your misunderstandings about something or whatever. But I think it's important for us to be vulnerable and just to be real with each other in a way that lets us change and lets us grow into something that we need to be, into someone that God wants us to be. And we're never going to get there if we're so deeply entrenched in the way we've always thought about things and the way we've always done things. And so having a platform, like you said, to just talk to each other, like if you were sitting at a party with somebody and you were just having a conversation about what you were studying or, you know, some verse that you ran across or some conversation you had with somebody at work, you're just sitting there at the party talking to somebody. That's what I hope these conversations in our podcast are representative of, is just that conversation you're having with somebody. You may not have all the answers. Maybe you've done a little bit of backstory and research, but you're just looking for the deeper insight that helps you change into who you need to be.
Yeah, it's funny how we call it Bible geeks. I can nerd out about all kinds of Bible stuff. Brian's nodding his head. As the podcast really came to be formed and we thought about what we wanted it to be and what it has become, it's really not very much about scholarly details or taking in, you know, diving into a lot of big, profound questions that get us really heavy in the abstract. It's very much about our spiritual lives. It's really about how we develop as disciples and kind of just taking people on that journey with us if they want to come along, and us really challenging ourselves and challenging each other to be honest and think through these areas that we need to grow in, that we are growing in. It's really more about spiritual development in Christ than it is about being a Bible geek. It's just starts on that platform, I guess, of loving scripture that then launches into those topics.
You are tapping into something that all of us do. My guess is we would have a fairly long, sustained argument about which Marvel movie is the best. We would also have a fairly long and sustained argument about Spider-Man versus Wolverine, who would really win. We all know it would be Wolverine. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But I mean, the thing about it is you're tapping into a passion that all of us naturally have, but you're not talking about the MCU anymore. What you're talking about now is, this is how I think about Christianity. I think that's genius, fellas. Kudos to you guys. Thank you for making this approachable. Thank you for not bringing out the Koine Greek. Thank you for making this a very real journey with
me. Yeah, well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, anything that's good that's coming in that, it's almost incidental to what what we're doing. I mean, it's amazing just the way that the Lord has blessed and grown what we're doing. And I really appreciate you saying that, and that there is someone besides the two of us that's getting something from this and really, you know, developing because of it.
That's kind of like what you brought up about just being a nerd in general, or being passionate about anything. Like, when you're passionate about whatever it is, fill in the blank, and anyone listening to this conversation right now, you know, think about what you're passionate about. My wife is super passionate about cleaning stains off of fabrics and stuff like that. Yes. Like, she loves that stuff. She'll talk to you for hours about that. And if she connects with somebody who has that same passion, they'll be off in the corner for hours just talking about that kind of stuff. And like, when you make that connection with somebody who is also passionate about the scriptures, or if they're just searching and they're questioning things, I absolutely, hands down, love it when somebody disagrees with me or they have a question that I've never even thought about. It's like, oh yeah, bring it on. This is exactly what I'm here for. And again, not to say that I've got to bust out the Koine Greek or I've got to pontificate in some way, but like sitting down and just having that conversation with them, that's what I love to do. Again, if you're going to get somebody on a weekly basis who wants to do that along with you, start up a podcast. that's what we did.
Yeah, and hopefully what you do and what we do can generate more of the, I mean, that's the next step is if there's more of that dialogue happening, that's what the scriptures are meant to be. It's meant to be, you know, you see throughout the history of the scriptures and God's people, they are not just meditating on the scriptures themselves, but in community with the scriptures, talking and knocking it back and forth. And even the books we have, the inspired books, are in conversation with one another, you know, thinking about these things together. And Mark and John in their gospels are in conversation with each other. And Luke is dealing with Joel and what he said. And Paul is wrestling with, you know, what Isaiah said and working through it. And yes, the Holy Spirit is guiding these things. But this is what we do. This is how we grow. We do it together.
I think it's exciting when people have those kinds of passionate conversations about Bible stuff. That's cool. I think you are unfairly conflating a geek with a nerd. So can you go ahead and make that differentiation for us, Brian?
Well, I mean, I would definitely say a nerd probably has more of those characteristics of social awkwardness, maybe, maybe than a geek. I think being a geek is still, you know, socially acceptable. Maybe being a nerd, you've gone a little bit too far. And I don't know. I'm okay being called a nerd as well for the Bible and talking about God's word, but maybe not everybody would be super comfortable with that.
We embrace both. But yeah, I mean, I think you can be a photography geek. You can be a Shakespeare geek. You know, it's just become something that you just talk about what you love. And that's really where we're coming from. But we also, as you say, we allow some of the general geekiness to seep into every corner of the podcast as well as we embrace it.
You guys have a podcast that sounds amazing. Your graphics look amazing. Your website is amazing. One of you has a production background. Who's the guilty guy?
Well, at least from the audio standpoint, that'd probably be me. Now, if you go back and listen to some of our very first episodes, we kind of took a little while to get into our rhythm, so to speak, to get all of our equipment and setups ready to go. I actually used to do a weekly tech segment on our CBS 5 CBS affiliate here in town. Yeah. And so every Tuesday morning at 5:00, I would go into the studio and I would do a 5 to 10 minute Tech Tuesday tech segment where we talk about apps and technology and all kinds of stuff. So yeah,
before he was the Bible geek, he was the Mac geek, known throughout the Phoenix metropolitan area. And now his Mac geek license plate has been replaced with a Bible geek license plate. So identity shift.
From the standpoint of design, though, and our website and everything that goes into the way that things look, that's definitely Mr. Joy, because he was a designer by trade before he went into preaching. And man, am I grateful for that.
Brian sells himself a little short sometimes as a designer. As an engineer, I think he's one of the better designers that I've worked with. But so Brian does a lot of the design work, too, and does all of our video work. And Brian just does a lot. Yeah, I have a branding and graphic design background. So that's a part of the way I think we both think is very intentional about how we want to present things, how we can eliminate any excess stuff and get it focused down to what we want to say, trying to be purposeful, trying to know who we're trying to reach, how we want to reach them, what our tone needs to be, and then from a visual standpoint, what we want our style to be and that kind of thing.
That is very obvious to me. It's also obvious to me that you guys edit that podcast as well.
Yes, we do. Sometimes it's about what you don't say.
Yes, I know. It's also when you take out the, okay, we said that once already. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and take out this second time that we said the same thing.
Yeah.
As somebody who also edits, I know that's a lot of work. It's also invisible to the audience because they never know how much editing you've done.
You hope.
Let me thank you as a fellow editor. Thank you. Thank you for saving several hours of my time. So right now you guys are going through a series that you're calling Cross Training. I think it's a fabulous series. But what's the thinking behind that and how did you reach that?
Well, thanks. Yeah. When we first started the podcast back in 2019, we didn't really have like a big long-term focus. So we just kind of dealt with different topics along the way. We talked about the miracles in John. We talked about the fruit of the Spirit, all kinds of stuff as the weeks went by. 2020, we finally decided to do a year-long series. And so we did a through the book series where we went through the New Testament together and talked about that. And then all the while, Ryan kept talking about some big idea, and just the code name in our documents were Ryan's Secret Project. And we kind of kept talking about this thing, and eventually that's what became Cross Training. So I guess since it was Ryan's secret project, he probably should talk about it.
Well, we've talked about discipleship a lot. I've been thinking for a long time about how to formulate a strategy for developing people, including myself, into mature disciples. How do we develop a taxonomy of Christian virtues that we can teach from and include a basic systematic theology, but really focus on habit development and behavior development and character development? So we just thought it'd be fun and fitting to do it like a training program, taking on the marks of the master and learning to take up our cross and follow him. And so we've broken down these 12 marks of the master, and then we break down each of those into four different aspects. And it's been really encouraging. I use these that I'm preaching through these as well through the year, and we use these as articles and that kind of thing. So it's been something I've thought about. I've covered whiteboards for a long time with.
Oh, yes, he has.
It looks like crazy, you know, like trying to do quadratic equation. I don't know. Just do it, some kind of craziness. It looks like I'm trying to invent the bomb, atom bomb or something. But, you know, just scribblings all over walls and everything, trying to think through these different aspects. And Brian, the more orderly, organized, detailed thinker, has been able to help me again in our partnership. We've been able to figure out how to really make sense of this in a way that hopefully leads people step by step through a process that makes sense without kind of overwhelming everyone.
What we tried to do from the beginning was approach this sort of holistically, I guess, where we were thinking about what it is that we believe, you know, what's going on in our minds. And then transitioning that to what goes on in our hearts, what comes out of our emotions, what's basically just deeply ingrained in who we are on the inside. And then transitioning that into going into what we do and what we take action with. And so what does it look like in our day-to-day lives when we put these things into practice?
Right.
And then the final thing was talking about community. And so really focusing on how do I take this out into the world, not just live it in my bubble, live it in my church, but actually live these things in the world that I currently live in. And so just those approaches, those four aspects of our belief, of our heart, of our actions and community, applying that to everything that we're studying and we're thinking about in terms of being like Jesus. And that hopefully by the end of this project, I mean, there's so many things that we've just had to leave off. Like we couldn't talk about this topic or that topic. Hopefully though, the things that we've chosen to talk about really do push someone on the right track.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah. I love what you said about thinking about your son. And that is so much of this is it's just a crystallizing thought exercise to think about what is it that I want to hand to my kids? What are the basics? What are the foundations? How do I instill something in them that that trains them to be who we want them to be? And so I really appreciate that. That's something I've thought about a lot throughout this process. And you're thinking about new Christians,
we've had a bunch of conversations here recently, meetings in the congregation here in Fort Wayne about who we are, where we want to go as a church. And we've talked a lot about discipleship and how our job is to make disciples. And one brother brought something up that I've mentioned like three times in sermons. He said, you know, our job is to make disciples, but I'm still being made into a disciple.
Yeah.
And so this isn't just how do we start someone from the moment they're baptized or before we convert them and bring them along and grow them, but how do we, wherever we are as 50-year-old, a 60-year-old, wherever we are in Christ, continue developing these things? Because every time Paul wants to help us grow in some area, he wants us to become better husbands or deal with trials better or whatever it is. Where does he take us? He takes us back to the basics. And then he builds on that. He takes us back to the cross. He takes us back to who is God and what is the church. And, you know, and from there, you build and grow in who has mastered love, who has mastered faith. You know, we're just developing these things more and more.
You know, one of the things Paul does, and this is something that I get very skittish about, is he says a couple of times, you guys, if you guys want to figure out what this is like, look at me. Mm. And I got to tell you, that's hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I keep on saying is, if you want to know what this looks like, please look at the Bible, because you can't look at me, because I don't have this figured out yet, but look at Jesus, please.
Yeah.
Well, that's the balance, right? You're balancing this sense of humility, knowing that you're nothing and that Jesus is everything, but you're also balancing the influence that you have in the world and the fact that if you stand out as a light in the community that you live in, then you should be able to say confidently to people, follow me, ... as I follow Christ, right? And that's never an easy thing to say, because you feel like you're putting yourself on a pedestal a little bit too much, but Paul did it, and I guess that's an encouraging thing for us to remember too.
Yeah, and I think one of the things you're saying there, Brian, is it's important for you to balance the Christian life. Is that right?
Maybe.
You can say, don't look at me, look at the Bible, but that's not going to stop anybody from looking at you. Your son is looking at you every day. There are a lot of people that are looking at us, and as you have that attitude of, hey, I don't have it figured out, I am, as soon as you start thinking, I've got it, everybody look at me, well, now you're not worth looking at anymore. But while you're in that process, the people who I most admire, who I consider the most mature, are those people who feel most like, I have so far to go. And the closer I get to Christ, the more I realize how far I have to go.
Yeah.
And it's that ongoing journey that they are on. They are driven to grow in Christ every day. And when people see that, then they say, that guy has something I can learn from. I know they're not perfect, but there's something there. And hopefully that's, you know, even in our conversations, we're able to model not just what we say, but how we say things and how what people can hear that we care about. And hopefully we're just as honest. If you're not honest about your failings and your weakness, then I think you do get yourself in trouble.
I know that's true. I think my problem is I'm probably a little bit too generous with myself. And then I go to the opposite extreme. I think one of the things that impresses me the most is Jesus came and he said, I'm just looking for broken people. I'm just looking for sick people.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for people who know they need me. If you don't need me, I'm not here for you. I'm sorry. But everybody needs him. But you just need to come to the realization, no, I'm really messed up. I really am messed up. I need somebody to fix this mess because I can't do it.
And isn't it awesome how you don't have to be messed up alone? And I guess that's really the beauty and the genius of the church, is that you're not by yourself. You're not walking the road alone. You don't have to feel like you're the only one who is broken in some way. And I guess that's one of the things that when we have these conversations on the podcast, or, you know, whenever you find yourself sitting down and talking to a friend about your life and the way that the Word of God has changed you, you almost invariably will get into the things that you're not doing the way that you could be or should be. And it's important to be vulnerable in those times. And it's important to look at yourself and really understand, like, where do I need to improve? Because if you're doing everything perfectly, I mean, then you probably don't need Jesus. And that's not a position I want to be in. And just being honest with myself, and that's not easy. Sometimes you need those Nathans in your life to point at you and say, you're the man, you know, get back on track. And yeah. I think we can all do that for each other. And that's just what the church is for.
I'm a big advocate of what I call digital discipleship. And one of the things that I'm arguing in that, in the first century, when you read about the first century Christians that were in Jerusalem, for example, the 5,000, here's the thing I know. They didn't meet in a church building, and they didn't have one person give all the announcements. They didn't have one person that was going to do the opening prayer, one person do the closing prayer. They talked about meeting house to house, and it sounds like these were people that basically got to know each other individually pretty well. One of the things that I know, though, I go to church since COVID once a week, sometimes twice a week, depending on who's feeling well and who's not feeling well. And part of my argument with digital discipleship is this bridges those gaps, because now you have the option of meeting with more people more often that are, quite frankly, a better influence. What do you guys think about digital discipleship?
Well, I know that my life, my study habits, my spiritual life and my wife's spiritual life and my kids' spiritual lives are deeply blessed by the digital resources we have available. My wife is, every time I come around her, she has on a podcast, unfortunately. She listens to our podcast at double speed, I think, and then gets back to the other podcasts that she really likes.
That's awesome. So good.
No, she always listens to ours, and she says, that was good, and here's some things to talk about. But, you know, she loves the Bible Project, and so she's constantly listening to those guys. She does devotionals every morning on the YouVersion app, and I do too. I love the prayer aspect of the YouVersion app is something I recently discovered. And I have a rule every day, scripture before phone. So I go through and it's still on my phone. I pull up and the first thing I'm allowed to open is, you know, the Bible app. All of my study is on the Logos software. I do courses and on other places. I find the teachers that I think, okay, this person, maybe I don't agree with everything, but this person has something to teach me about Romans as a Pauline scholar. Okay, what can I learn? And I mean, I just feel like I'm enormously blessed by all of those kinds of resources. So it's an important part of my spiritual life, and there would be something missing, certainly, in my life without it.
Well, you go even back 100 years ago, and I mean, even maybe 25 years ago, and the resources that we have now are just unthinkable to what they had back then. And the opportunities that we have to spread the gospel, to be encouraged, to make connections with each other. And, honestly, you talk about the pandemic, but like, how would this pandemic have gone had we not had things like Zoom, had we not had things like live streaming? We would have all been incredibly isolated. I mean, we certainly were isolated in a lot of ways, and it is good for us to be back together in person and to be around each other. But augmenting that or using our digital resources in place of those when we had to for a time, and now we've gotten really comfortable with those tools and resources, I think a lot of us have, and just putting those back in place. I mean, as somebody who was really heavily involved in live streaming and recording our sermons at Monte Vista, we'd been doing that for years before the pandemic came along.
Right.
And we had just hundreds of sermons on our YouTube page. And when the pandemic hit, I can't even tell you honestly how many people were reaching out to me asking, well, how did you set that up? How did you put all the video resources in place to do that? And they were kind of coming to it out of necessity because that's just what everybody was having to transition to. Isn't it amazing now that now we've been pushed to the point where everybody is doing this, or lots of people are doing this, and now you have access to so many more voices than you had before? It kind of reminds me of going back to the first century with the dispersion from Jerusalem. It's like, out of necessity, out of this incredible pain and anguish that the people were suffering there and the persecution, they all just dispersed and exploded across the known world at the time.
That's right.
And yeah, the gospel spread. And what can God do in difficult times? I mean, if we've seen anything, he can get us connected to more spiritually focused voices than we've ever had access to before.
Amen.
I think you're right. I think at a time when people were persecuted in the first century, because Nero made some really ridiculous accusations, Christianity just spread like wildfire.
Yeah.
I think now, and I call this the blessing of COVID, that there are so many blessings that have come out of this. It is devastating, especially to people who have lost loved ones. But there has been a blessing out of this. And I do think that blessing is basically taking advantage of the abundance of stuff that's out there that has been there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Just nobody thought, you know, I'm going to go see what's there. Suddenly we had curiosity when we could not meet as a congregation. I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously I drank the Kool-Aid. So, I mean,
but you were sitting there waiting for everybody else to show up to the party.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. He's like, this is what I was waiting for. I'm all set and ready. No, but I think you make a good point about curiosity, because unless you're forced to be curious about something, I feel like you never really venture out into something that you're uncomfortable with or that might contain all kinds of pitfalls and challenges. Curiosity is what this is all about. And talking about cross training to be more like Jesus, talking about being a disciple of Christ, it's all about curiosity. It's just about, what am I missing? What have I not considered? Is there something that I can do that I've never done before that would be challenging or difficult for me to do? And taking that on out of necessity, I think you're talking about the blessing of COVID. That's definitely what people were forced to do, is be a little bit more curious. And if that's just something we can take into our everyday study of the Bible, pandemic or no pandemic, if that's what we can think about personally for ourselves, is how can I be better? How can I grow? What tools do I have available to me?
Yeah, yeah.
Then all the more. I'm just ready for it. Let's all be curious together.
I've often thought that Christianity is simple to understand, but it turns out to be pretty difficult to live. What to you is the heart of Christianity?
I'll give you two answers that might seem like polar opposites.
Okay.
Consistency and change. Consistency in that it's just hard to sustain things, to sustain growth, to put in place a new habit. I have a lot of highs and lows sometimes, and a lot of maturing for me is establishing a new normal where my lows don't drop below what I have established. This is always who I'm going to be, and those anchors. But also, whenever I'm trying to establish a new habit, or I'm trying to stop doing something, or I'm trying to stop thinking a certain way, that change is really hard. And maybe the hardest thing in all of spirituality and all of life is change, and is repenting, you know, looking honestly at yourself and saying, okay, this is who I am. This is what I am. Lord, I acknowledge it. Now I'm determined to change. Help me, forgive me, work with me.
Yeah.
And to that point, I think for me, I think it's just about getting out of my own way. I am the biggest obstacle. I am the biggest, quote unquote, hard in being a better Christian. If there's anything standing between me and the love of Christ, it's nothing else that is outside of myself. Romans 8, Paul's talking all about all the things that can't separate us from the love of Christ. Notably, though, missing from that list is you. I am the one who can stand in my way. And just getting out of my own way, being more consistent, being more repentant, understanding who I am, thinking about myself in a way that is challenging to think about, and maybe looking directly at my flaws, being vulnerable with myself. Isn't it funny, though, that I'm the one who has the hardest time seeing myself objectively? So that's another way, like get somebody else involved in this conversation. I think in a lot of the challenges that we have on our podcast, the things that we challenge each other to do, a lot of them talk about community and bringing in a friend, being vulnerable with someone. And the reason for that is because so often I am blind to myself. Understanding how I can live better for Christ sometimes involves another person getting involved and poking you in the eye a little bit and helping you along.
I'm known for a prayer that I led in church once where I said, Lord, please forgive us when we are boneheaded idiots and do the things we want to do rather than the things we know we ought to do.
Yeah.
And that is one of the things. People were surprised when I used the term boneheaded idiot. So
sounds like something real, Jesus man. Might that's have like, said.
That's exactly what.
I don't think that stiff-necked was a compliment.
Yeah, right.
So anyway, who inspires you in your Christian walk?
Honestly, for me, it's this small little world called the church. It's not one person, although there are lots of one people, individual people who inspire me. But it is this whole amazing thing that Christ set up in bringing us all together in community. And something about podcasting, which I'm sure you feel the same way, is just connecting with people who you never know, who you've never talked to before. Maybe you've never shaken their hand or anything like that. But you get connected with them in a meaningful way, just randomly out of the blue, using this medium of podcasting. And for me, every time I go visit somewhere, anytime I get connected with somebody, anytime somebody like reaches out and tells us something about the show or things that they thought about while listening to an episode, anytime somebody reaches out like that, that is hugely inspirational and motivational for me. And just in a meta way, just having this conversation, like, you know, talking to Kenny and having this conversation about God's word and about what we're all doing in this crazy world of podcasting that we're up to. It's like, this is awesome because I may not have ever known you in a deep and meaningful way. We may not have ever met face to face, but yeah, I'm motivated and inspired by people who are part of what Jesus paid his life to save and this church that we're all a part of. And knowing that we can all be on the same page, we may not agree on everything. We may not be completely consistent in the way that our backgrounds are established or anything like that. Like, we're all diverse, but it's awesome because we all share a common faith in Jesus.
I've often said that my favorite thing in all the world is God's people. It's just the best thing that there is. It's just being with them, knowing them, like Brian said, not perfect, but earnest and real and caring, and to know that there are people that don't know you and yet love you, would do just about anything for you. And then you get to know those people and you just recognize the beauty of belonging and family, and you get to look forward with excitement to what it's going to be like when everyone around you are those people, a city of those people. You know, Brian inspires me. I think that the way that he works for the Lord is just tireless, and you know, just being able to partner with all kinds of people in the church and throughout God's kingdom is an exciting, it's just an exciting part of the work that we get to do, of the life that we get to live.
Yeah. Aw, thanks, man. I like you too.
I'm just going to go ahead and say that's a foul. I asked for one person, and basically Brian's answer was every Christian, and...
That's right. Come on now.
Well, at least we didn't say no, Jesus and move on. You know, that's the that's the answer.
That's true. Okay, I'll have to let that one go on a technicality. Basically, you're saying that Christians inspire you, and I can't disagree with that. One of the things that I've noticed in your podcast, though.
Here it comes.
Yep.
Brace for impact.
You guys have a ton of pop culture references, and I think we must be watching a lot of the same things. I mean, in one episode, Clear Eyes, Full Heart, Can't Lose, Friday Night Lights. What a
Coach
classic.
Taylor.
That's right. That's Coach Taylor. Do you prefer him as a Panther or as a Lion?
Oh, panther.
That was the wrong answer. I apologize. Again, I'll say this, and I said this at the very beginning. You're making Christianity fun. You really love God, and you really love sharing his work. And this is something that you all have enjoyed for quite a bit. I don't think you all are manufacturing this. How did you get to this point?
Oh, man. That's a great question. How are you the way that you are? Like, why am I a geek? Why am I passionate about anything? I don't know. I grew up in a place where I was really motivated by people like Ryan. And not only were we passionate about talking about the Bible, which we were, but everything else that we were passionate and excited about. TV shows we were watching, music we were listening to, places we were going, things that we would do. And I think when you're, we've talked about being a geek a bunch of times on the episode, but like when you're a geek about anything, it just naturally weaves its way through every aspect of your life. I think it's important for us not to just leave our lives at the door whenever we start studying the Bible or whenever we start thinking about Jesus. It's like we are talking about changing every aspect of who we are to be more like Christ, which involves our role in society. It involves our role of being out in the world. And so if we are going to be making connections with people, not living of the world, but living in the world, like I honestly want to be able to live like this 24/7. And I'm not going to be able to do that if I'm just putting on a show or putting on a face. And so thinking about how God's word impacts every aspect of my life, when I'm watching a television show and something comes on that reminds me of something that I was studying about, boom, the connection is made. And like just talking about that with somebody who gets it, like, yeah, all of a sudden we're talking about Friday Night Lights and like the Millennium Falcon and who knows what else, because we're thinking about all of these ways that our culture colors our understanding of God's word and what we can learn about them all together. Exactly the reason why Paul was sitting in Athens, kind of wandering around, looking around and saying, what are all these idols you guys got here? And then he used all of those for a teaching opportunity. It's like, just be aware of what's going on in the culture around you and use that as part of your evangelism and use that to become more like Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's one of the gifts of this format is just having a conversation and just being ourselves. And you can do things that don't really work in a sermon or a class or something. We're just, if you love what you're doing, you're enjoying each other, it hopefully makes what you're doing more accessible to people. I think we're just showing up with the things we love. This is just us talking like we would on a run or at lunch together, just with a little more structure and maybe some on-cue sound effects. Like when we're just sitting at lunch, Brian doesn't say, push the button, and there's a sound effect. But other than that, the conversations are pretty much what we want to talk about with each other. And, you know, it would be great to have more people in that conversation. You know, we've tried to do some things with social media and Facebook groups and different things to try to encourage some of that. But, you know, it's just the more people you can have in that dialogue that care about this stuff, the more exciting it gets.
I would love to just carry my soundboard everywhere with me. There you go.
See, you need some Lionel Richie every once in a while, just in the middle of a conversation.
Come on, why not? I mean, it just fits in perfectly there.
All righty, guys. An unscripted question. Here it is. Three Bible characters that withstood temptation the best. And you can't pick Jesus.
Yeah, that's always the challenge, right? Not picking Jesus.
Of course.
I'm going to have to pick Joseph here. Just throwing in Joseph. I mean,
the Potiphar wife.
Yeah, Potiphar's wife situation. Yeah, that'd be number one.
Yeah.
Joy?
Number one.
I'm going to say Job.
You always say Job.
I mean, that's who I think about when I think about a trial. I'll come up with somebody new for number two, but this is just who's fresh on my mind here.
I understand.
I've got another one queued up. Is this a snake draft? Can I go next?
I don't care.
I'll take Daniel next.
Oh man, All right. Daniel's good. Daniel works.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
What about Peter and John as they were told to stop preaching?
Oh, look at you.
I'm picking two people.
See, he always wants to double up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, it's hard not to pick both of them together as they were told not to speak anymore about Jesus. Yeah. Come on.
Ryan's coming up with Gabriel next. I mean,
something.
Yeah. All right. On that theme, I'm going to go same theme of don't speak anymore. And he kept faithful. I'm going to go Jeremiah.
Mm.
Good answer. Good answer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We'll play.
That you sound like we're in Family Feud. Good answer. Good answer. And the survey says.
Survey says. Oh, man.
Okay. Okay.
What about someone like Nehemiah, not giving in to the temptations and the pressure of all of the people around him telling him to stop
all
building?
All the naysayers.
And that his job was just dumb. He shouldn't have been up there on the wall. I love that story.
No, I do too. I do too. Look, obviously the right answer was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you got all three of them. That ladies and gentlemen,
that's right.
I just won the internet there. So.
Congratulations.
And he did them all with one draft pick, as Brian has set the pattern for.
Yes.
No, I'm taking all three. Those are the three guys.
Good, 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 good.
Listen, guys, this has been a lot of fun. What did I miss?
I'm sure we could keep going for another hour, but I think you covered it.
We just really appreciate you having us on. I mean, we're big fans, obviously, and you're up to a lot of stuff this last year. And we're honestly could not be more excited for how you've taken on the job of just connecting people. And one of the great things about your show and the things that you've been doing is just all the voices that we don't get to hear from very much and all of the thoughtfulness that you bring to this. I would not encourage everyone in the world to go start a podcast, but for those people who are able to and capable of doing it, I am so glad that there are more and more people out there talking about the Word of God and talking to each other. And especially in this digital world that we live in, it's great to have influential, positive, encouraging voices like yourself. So thanks for having us on board today.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and yeah. This is just one of the gifts of fellowship, is being able to have fun talking about meaningful things and really just sharing our lives with each other. So really appreciate the conversation, and keep up all the good work.
I end all my podcasts with be good and do good. What is good?
I have to say, honestly, just sharing your passion. I mean, we've been talking about geeking out, and isn't it good to just sit down with people who love the same things you love and are passionate about the same things you are, and just geeking out with new friends? That's always good for me.
Yeah, yeah, life is good. Life is good because of what the Lord has done and poured into us and enjoying all of these blessings we've been talking about.
I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed this. Well, before we end up, how would somebody be able to get in touch with you if they were interested in talking?
Oh, so we do have a website, BibleGeeks.fm, and we have a contact form on our website if somebody wants to get in touch with us directly and privately. We also have a Facebook page. We've got a Facebook group. We're always active on social media there. And so however somebody wants to get in touch with us, BibleGeeks.fm is a really good starting point.
Ryan, Brian, thank you. This has been a blast. I have enjoyed geeking out with you guys. This is so much fun. I really appreciate this.
Well, welcome to the tribe, Kenny. We'll get you a t-shirt and a card-carrying member card here shortly.
That sounds great. I look forward to it. Yeah. Yeah, these guys are just a part of my tribe. This was so much fun. And I probably got out about a third of the laughter. Ryan and Brian, I love you guys. Keep doing what you do. I feel certain we'll talk again soon. And I can't wait for that. As for the good thing I'm thinking about, I'm thankful for helpers. I've been pulling together this lectureship idea I've spoken about recently, and I have been amazed how many people are interested and willing to help me make this a reality. We recently landed on a date and some topics and have been lining up some speakers.
It's really cool to see something come together. I'll give you more details in November, but I'm excited about what I'm seeing. I'd also like to thank those who financially support the podcast, like George Sanchez, Jerry Wright, Chris Kramer, Kevin Hansen, Barbara McWane, and my parents. Thank you for supporting me in this harebrained idea. If you'd like to support the podcast, you're welcome to look it up on Patreon. In my next episode, my son Jake came to me with some questions he had, and I pulled in Kevin Stonehart to help me answer some of those questions. It was both fun and interesting to hear what kind of questions a college student has. So until next week, let's be good and do good.